The study this month has been on preparing for 2017, and tonight's message is encountering the storm. Encountering the storm. And how many are excited about 2017?
Yeah.
All right, I like that. It's the brand new start of a brand new year, and I'm here to tell you tonight that God has got wonderful plans for your life. God has got plans to prosper you, to give you a hope, a future, and an expected end. You know, you may have been told in the past that you were a mistake, but that was a lie. You are not a mistake. You are not an accident. You are on this earth with a God-given divine destiny, end, and purpose. Say it with me tonight. God has got great plans for my life starting at the very beginning of 2017. You know, God's got great plans for your life, but I also want to tell you tonight, friends, you know, storms will come into our lives this year. Storms will come into our lives this year. But there's good news. You can come through the storms alive and safe. You can come through the storm that you may experience alive and safe on the other side. How do you get through the storm? How do you get through the storm that may come into your life? Jesus Christ, that's right. You get through the storm by being prepared, by being prepared now. How many here know that Oklahoma is known as Tornado Alley? You got it. It's Tornado Alley. Tornadoes happen in Oklahoma. Now, wise families, what do wise families do? Wise families build tornado shelters in their home. So if there's a forecast of a tornado coming and they're at home, guess what they do? They go into the tornado shelter and they're protected from the storm. They are prepared. Wise families are prepared for tornadoes if they build tornado shelters in their home. Does that make sense here tonight? It's just a comparison here. So tonight's message is found in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. So tonight we're going to have a Bible study. How many here tonight are excited about God's Word? In Jesus' name, we're going to get into the Word of God tonight, and we're going to pull something out of the Word that we can apply to the rest of our lives. So Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, Jesus says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." Alrighty, tonight, everyone, Jesus says what? In Matthew 7, 24. What does Jesus say in Matthew 7, 24? He says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine." What words is Jesus talking about? The words that Jesus is talking about are the words preceding Matthew 7, verse 24. He's talking about the words that he just gave on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 through Matthew 7, 23. And Jesus says, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice." What is Jesus saying? Puts them into practice. He's saying, not only does that person hear, but I want that person to practice my words. I want my followers to practice and obey my words. And then in Matthew 7, 24 through 27, Jesus gives several images. He gives the image of a house, number one. Then Jesus gives the image of what? A storm signified by winds and heavy rains. And then Jesus gives the image of the rock. So tonight we're going to be examining these scriptures, Matthew 7, 24 through 27. So, as we have this study tonight, let me ask you this. What does the house signify in Matthew 7, 24? What does the house signify? The house signifies your life. The house signifies your life. What does the storm signify in Matthew chapter 7? Guys, you're going to want to think about this tonight. The house signifies your life. The storm symbolizes, it signifies death, physical death. And friends, I'm here to tell you tonight that the one thing that is guaranteed each and every single one of us is death. We will all face that storm called death. And then Jesus gives the image of the rock. What does the rock signify in Matthew 7, 24 and forward? The rock signifies the lordship of Jesus Christ. You see, in Matthew 5, 1 through Matthew 7, 23, Jesus is teaching on Christ-likeness. And I'd encourage you tonight, after this meeting, if you've got a Bible, go and read Matthew 5 through Matthew 7. In Matthew 5, 1 through Matthew 7, 23, Jesus is teaching on Christ-likeness, on making Him Lord in your life. Hence, He says in verse 24, therefore, everyone who hears these words, what words? The words of how to make Him Lord as spoken of on the sermon, in the Sermon on the Mount. But not only hears, he says, Jesus says, not only hears, but also does what? Also practices these words that I've given you. That also obeys the words that I have given you. The person who hears my words and practices, obeys my words, will be like the man, will be like the woman who built his house upon the rock. And when the storm comes, that house, that life will still be standing. Isn't that awesome here tonight? So for the next few minutes, I want to talk about our lives, preparing for the storm that Jesus is talking about in Matthew 7, 24 through 27. Friend, let me ask you tonight, when death comes storming into your life, will it be said of you that you are prepared, that your life is founded on the rock of the lordship of Jesus Christ? Think about that. Let me repeat the question. When death comes storming into your life, when death comes knocking at the door of your life, will it be said of you that you are prepared? Will it be said of you that your life is founded on the rock of the lordship of Jesus Christ? Or will it be said of you that your life was built on sand? You see, the other image that Jesus uses in Matthew 7, 24 through 27 is the image of sand. So when death comes storming into your life, when you meet death face to face, will it be said of you that your life was founded on sand? What does sand stand for in Matthew 7? Sand stands for disobedience to the words of Jesus Christ. Sand stands for the temporary footings of this world. Sand stands for earthly pleasures, worldly pleasures. It stands for illicit sex. It stands for drugs and alcohol and self-absorption. It stands for, you know, being vengeful against your enemies. Will it be said of you that when death comes storming into your life, that your life was founded on sand, on the temporary footings of this world? And Jesus says that, you know, if your life is founded upon sand, if your house is founded upon sand, when the storm comes and beats against your house, your life, it's going to fall with a great crash. It's going to fall with a great crash. Luke chapter 6. Luke's same rendering of the Sermon on the Mount talks about the house falling with complete destruction. The house that is founded on sand. The temporary footings of this world. I don't want my house, I don't want my life founded on sand. How about you?
Amen.
I want my life, I want my house to be founded on the rock, on the Lordship of Jesus Christ. How about you?
Amen.
So how do you prepare for the day that death comes storming into your life? How do you prepare for the day that death comes knocking at your door? How do you prepare for the day that death meets you face to face?
Don't get scared now.
How do you prepare for that day? How do you prepare for it? By making Jesus Savior and Lord. You might be saying tonight, well, you know what? I said a prayer a month ago. I said a prayer a year ago. I said a prayer 5 years ago. I said a prayer 10 years ago, and I said, Jesus, be my Savior. So I believe I'm saved. And that prayer is good. That prayer of salvation is good. But Jesus wants to be more than just Savior in your life. Jesus wants to be Savior and Lord. You see, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 through Matthew 7, 23, is about making Jesus Christ Lord over your life. What does Lord mean? It means master, it means controller, the one in supreme authority over every area of your life. And tonight I encourage you, when you leave this place, to read the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 through 7. For instance, Jesus talks about in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, the Beatitudes. He talks about being salt and light in a dark world. He talks about not murdering. He talks about not hating your brother. See, this is Him being Lord over your minds, over your spirit, not hating. He talks against, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount talks against adultery. He talks against physical adultery, and he talks against lusting after a woman in your heart. He's talking about making Him Lord over your thoughts and over your spirit. He talks against divorce. Jesus talks about love for enemies in Matthew chapter 5. Not only loving your neighbor, those that do good to you, but loving those who offend you. Jesus talks about in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6 about giving to the needy, those who are needier than you, and doing it in secret. He talks about prayer. He talks about fasting. He talks about storing up heavenly treasures. Is He the Lord over your finances, over your material things? He talks about not worrying, not fretting. In other words, He's talking about having faith in Him. He's talking about not judging others in Matthew chapter 7. Not using your mouth to judge others. In other words, is Jesus Lord over your mouth? He talks about the narrow and the wide gates, the tree and its fruit. And then He comes to Matthew 7, verse 24. So the entire Sermon on the Mount is what? Jesus gives the Sermon on the Mount, and He's given a sermon about how to make Him Lord over every part of your being. Is that making sense here tonight?
Yes, sir.
You know, maybe up until tonight, you've been the one in control of your life. Maybe as you came to this meeting tonight, you've been the one in control of your own existence. Maybe your mindset as you came here tonight was, you know what, this is my life. And I do with my life what I want to do with it. That's a rebellious attitude. And I'm here to tell you tonight that God is not obligated to bless anyone who is living in rebellion towards Him. Maybe tonight you came here with a mindset, you know what? I'm in the driver's seat of my car, of my life. I've got the steering wheel of my life, but guess what? If you're in the driver's seat of your life, guess what? Jesus is asking for you to slide on over to the passenger side and for Him to take the steering wheel of your life.
Amen.
Jesus says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. Therefore, everyone who hears the words that I just spoke in the Sermon on the Mount and obeys me, makes me Lord, will be like a wise man who built his house upon the rock of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Is that good news here tonight?
Yeah.
Jesus wants to be more than just Savior. Jesus wants to be Lord. He wants to be controller of your life. The one in supreme authority over every part of your existence. He wants to be in the driver's seat of your life. He wants to be the big boss in your life 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Say it with me. I'm going to make Jesus the big boss of my life. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And friends, I'm here to tell you tonight that making Jesus Christ Lord over every part of your being, making Him Lord over your mind, making Him Lord over your body, making Him Lord over your words, making Him Lord over your finances, making Him Lord over every part of you is not an easy process. A famous minister once said this. He said this, becoming a Christian is the work of a moment. But being a Christian is the work of a lifetime. How do you be a Christian, if you would? It's not correct English. But how do you be a Christian? By making Jesus Christ Lord over every part of you. Submitting every part of your being to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Is that making sense here tonight? You become a Christian in a moment. When you said, you know, when you prayed that sinner's prayer and you said, Jesus, be my Savior and Lord. If you were to die at that moment, you would have gone straight to heaven. But guess what? After making Jesus your Savior, you're going to live another 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years on this earth. Many of you. And it's in those years that you make Jesus your Lord. That's the part of being a Christian, living out the Christian life, being Christ-like, is submitting to the Lordship of Jesus. And it's not easy, friends. It is not easy. It's a tough thing. And you know what? You need God's grace. I need God's grace to make Jesus Lord. Because every so often, the flesh will want to pop its ugly head. The sin nature at times will try to take you down. It'll try to drag you back into that addiction that you were dealing with. And sometimes you'll get weak, you'll slip back, but when you slip back and you sin, you confess your sin, and He is faithful and just to forgive you of all sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Is that good news here tonight? You've got to pray for God's grace. When you get weak and you want to slip back into that bad thing, you want to slip back into that addiction, say, you know what, God? I'm trying to follow your Son, Jesus Christ. I want your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the Savior and the Lord over every part of my life. I want to submit my life, every part of my being, to the Lordship of your Son, but it's so difficult. At times, I want to slip back, God. I can't do it on my own. And I'm here to tell you tonight that if you cry out to God in prayer, God will give you His empowerment. God will give you His grace to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and to put to death the deeds of the flesh. We need to surrender our lives to the authority of God as revealed, as found in the Scripture. So, how do you make Jesus Lord over your life? You cry out to God. Ask God for His grace. Ask God for His strength. Say, God, you know what? I want my thoughts to be Christ-like. I don't want to have thoughts of revenge and bitterness. I want to have thoughts of forgiveness. I can't do it on my own. And God will give you His strength. God, you know, I want what I do with my body to be Christ-like. I don't want to be doing drugs and alcohol. Sometimes I want to slip back. God, I can't do it on my own. I want to submit my body, what I do with my body, to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I want my body and what I do with it to be more Christ-like. And God will give you His strength to be Christ-like with your physical body. Is that good news? God, I want your Son, Jesus Christ, to sit upon the throne of my heart. But something else tries to compete and wants to sit on the throne of my heart. I'm here to tell you tonight that if you cry out to God, He will give you the strength for Jesus Christ to be right straight on the throne of your heart. Amen? Amen. You know, at times you may want to spend your money in ungodly ways. God, I want to spend your money and I want to donate to good organizations. I want to donate to the body of Christ. I want to donate to advancing the gospel. But sometimes you find yourself wanting to spend your finances in ways that are not godly. And just cry out to God when you get weak, and God will give you His strength. He'll give you His empowerment to be Christ-like with your finances. We're talking about lordship here tonight. We're talking about making Jesus supreme in authority, controller over every part of your being and your existence. Jesus is your Savior, but He wants to be more than Savior. He wants to be Lord. And you know, many storms will come across your life. Financial storms, family storms, physical health storms. But the greatest storm that we will all face is the storm called death. When death comes storming into your life, when death comes knocking at the door of your life, when you meet death face to face, will it be said of you that your life was founded upon the rock of the lordship of Jesus Christ? If your life is founded upon the rock of the lordship of Jesus Christ, when death comes storming into your life, guess what? You're going to stand firm. You're not going to be destroyed. You are going to enter eternal life, heaven, to be with God and Jesus forever and ever. Is that good news here tonight? It is what it is. You know, the Christian walk is not peaches and cream. It's not easy. The Christian walk is not a bed of roses. It's tough. Getting into heaven is a narrow walk. And Jesus talks about that in Matthew chapter 7 in the Sermon on the Mount. We need to put to death the deeds of the flesh by God's grace and God's strength. So tonight you're wondering, okay, so I want to make Jesus Lord, and I cry out to God. I pray to God for His strength to make His Son, Jesus Christ, my Lord. Another way to do it, friends, is by getting into the Word of God. By meditating on the Word of God, not once in a blue moon, but meditating on the Word of God on a consistent basis. Not just at Easter, not just at Christmas time, but getting into God's Word every single day of the week. Is that making sense here tonight? You know, the Word, the books that we read, the magazines that we read, the newspapers that we read influence the way that we think. Why not read the greatest book in the world, the Bible? Not just once in a while, but consistently. What does Joshua say? Joshua says in Joshua 1:8, "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." He's talking about being in the Word of God day and night, meditating on God's Word day and night. If you're in the Word of God on a consistent basis, on a daily basis, it will wash your minds. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? How do you renew your mind? With the washing of the water of the Word of God. It's good to hear it from a preacher, but you got to be in this preacher day and night. This is the preacher that stays with you when we leave. And you've got to be in it consistently, because as you read the Word of God, it's going to influence your mind and your spirit. You'll find yourself becoming more Christ-like. You'll find yourself submitting to the lordship of Jesus Christ in different areas of your life. And you know, Jesus gives us the warning too. He says, the person who builds his house upon the sand, the foolish person who hears his words in the Sermon on the Mount in Scripture and doesn't practice those words, is the person who builds his house upon the sand. And the person who builds his house upon the sand is the person who builds his house upon the temporary footings of this earth. And Jesus says that when that storm comes, if that person's life, that person's house is founded upon the sand, its destruction will be complete. That person will be lost eternally. I don't want to be there. How about you? I want my life built upon the rock. Say it with me tonight. I want
my life
built upon the rock of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. Amen. Friend, if you don't remember anything else tonight, remember this. Death at one point will be storming into your life. It could be in the next hour. It could be in the next day. It could be in the next year. It could be in the next 5 years that death comes storming into your life. If death were to storm into your life tonight, would it be said of you? Could it be said of you that your life is founded upon the rock of the Lordship of Jesus Christ? And if it is, and death storms into your life, guess what? You're not gonna die eternally. You'll be saved. You'll be entering eternal life to be with God and Jesus forever. Amen?